This morning, as we get ready to open God's Word, I want to go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our minds and our hearts for His kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we love You. And today, I ask Your blessing over this Word, Father God. I pray that You would open our ears to hear what Your Spirit says to us. And I pray, God, You do great and mighty things in each of our lives as individuals. Because when You begin to work in us as individuals, we become the church You intend for us to be. And God, I pray for that over every believer in this house, that new things begin to happen for Your kingdom's sake. We're living in a culture that needs a move of Almighty God. You have not withdrawn Yourself from this culture, but this culture has withdrawn itself from You. And God, it is our responsibility as light bearers, as being the salt of this earth, that we bring this principle back, that we show who You are. God, that we honor You with our own lives, that it's seen in us, not what we say in words, but God, how we live our lives to bring glory to Your kingdom. And we just ask You to bless each and every one of us and bless this word today, that we'd be strengthened by it. And stand on that foundation, that no other foundation can be laid than that which is Your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, we've been talking about when the church becomes the church. And today, the title of the message is The Great Commission. In the Great Commission, we find the church's marching orders. All the authority was given to Jesus. And He shared that in the Great Commission. And He commissioned us to go. He commissioned us as individuals to go. Did you know you're going to have people in your life that I'll never have the opportunity to speak to, or Wayne won't have the opportunity to speak to, but you. If you're walking in Jesus, you have a message when the gospel has become real to you. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look at the Great Commission. In verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always." That means stay off airplanes. I have never enjoyed flying, and when the Lord brought me into ministry, I started flying all over the country, and I didn't like flying. I remember flying out of Colorado, Denver, and man, the wind was blowing. We sat on the tarmac for like 45 minutes, and this big airplane that we was in, it was shaking, and we're sitting still, and it's full of people, and the wind was blowing so hard, and I'm like, good Lord. Well, finally, we got cleared to take off, and when we're doing that climb and you're taking off, and that plane must have fell, for me, it fell like a mile backwards. And every arm, it was like, every arm grabbed the armrest on them chairs. And I know I was sweating, and I looked at that man and sitting next to me, and he's just calm as all get out, sitting over there reading the magazine. I said, "Partner, I fly all the time, but I'll never get used to this." I said, "Think about it this way. When you go to the airport, you watch these athletic people get, you know, doing their stretching for the Olympics. They're getting all lined out. That's enough of that. And they're getting all lined out before they get on that, go do their event. I have to do that when I get on airplanes. I have to do a lot of praying. Lord, help me, be with me. And I pray all the way to the airport, and I get to feeling good inside, and I get to singing this little happy song we sing as Christians. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And then I look right up above my head when I'm exiting off to go to the airport, and there's this big sign up there that says terminal. Look it up in the dictionary. It means the end, finished. That's why Scripture says, lo, I'm with you always. Stay off airplanes. No, I never did enjoy the flying part. But guys, God is wanting to use us for His glory in this culture. In a world that seems so upside down and so lost and don't know which way to turn, and everything that is wrong is now being called right. And the Scripture tells us, the Bible tells us, woe to them who call evil good and good evil. And we have to begin to understand that the responsibility we bear is not a cumbersome responsibility, but it's the joy of the Lord. And when God has really done something awesome in our life, you want to just pour it out on somebody. And that's what God, when Jesus sent the disciples, when He told them, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. He didn't limit it. He wanted us to make a difference for His kingdom's sake, and the gospel ain't changed. Now hold yourself, hold your place in Matthew. We will be coming back there, but I want to tell you what the Webster's Dictionary says about the commission. The word commission is a command to act in a prescribed manner. The weakest thing a Christian can do today is tell somebody, the weakest witness we have is tell somebody, you need to go to church. Church ain't a place we go, it's who we are. And we need to understand that it's not in this building. You're the vessel. You're where the Holy Spirit resides. Thank goodness we don't have to run to this building when we need a move of God. We can have a move of God wherever we are, if it's in the grocery store, if it's a restaurant, when the Lord's laying it on your heart to pray for somebody, when He's leading you to share truth with somebody. Man, God is not limited to this building. He wants to be in us for His kingdom's sake. The Webster's Dictionary says commission is a command to act in a prescribed manner. It is Jesus that directs the steps of a righteous man. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord, the Bible tells us. It's to complete a charge or to complete a certain task. And God has called us to go into this nation and go into this world and be the salt and light. 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Scripture says this. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Because we get to looking today and we go, Lord, where are you? God, what are you doing? God is looking for a group of people that's responding to His move. God is looking for a group of people who's willing to respond to His Spirit directing us as His people. Amen? And it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Listen to what this Scripture says. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises as some count slackness, but He's long-suffering toward us. Long-suffering, it literally means to suffer long. And I really believe today that God is looking down in our nation, in America, as we watch things decay and go south, and you wonder, Lord, none of this has caught my Jesus by surprise. That's the good news. Nothing that's going on in this world today has caught my Lord by surprise. And we need to quit letting it take us by surprise, and we need to stand on the promises of God. He is the only foundation that we have. And when we stand on that foundation and we're sure that we're sure that we're sure, and we're sick and tired of being sick and tired of what's going on, and we begin to fulfill the commission that God has told us, we begin to share the promises of God to man's heart, because that's the only thing that'll change a man's heart, is the power of God, is the blessings of Jesus. But listen to what he says here. He says, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Repentance is a place of change. Repentance is a new direction. Too many people in the evangelical church today went through their definition of repentance with no change. Let me tell you something. You can't have an encounter with God and not change. Hello? He changes us. And the Bible tells us he changes us from glory to glory. What God is wanting to do is reveal himself in us, not reveal more of you or how much knowledge we gain. Knowledge don't save a man, but it's the knowledge that we get by hearing the word that enters the heart, and we get a revelation from God. And when we get the revelation from God, we get on fire for Jesus, because, wow, what just happened in my life? God has done something awesome in my life, and I want to share it with people. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not willing that any should perish. This is what I love about this scripture. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to the place of repentance. Change. Look at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. He says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. See what you have that we're so... Sometimes we feel like it's awkward, or, man, I just don't know what to say. I'm scared. Let me tell you something. If you're that person that I want to witness to people, but I don't know what to say, you go ahead and start speaking it. Are you listening to me now? You're sitting in that reserve mode, and why does that happen? Because we're weak in our flesh. The word tells us this. Jesus told us that the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. And I'm telling you, when we begin to share from the Spirit of God, and we just take a bold step that I'm going to share my Jesus, I'm going to share what he's done in my life. And when you begin to share that, then the boldness begins to come with it. And then you wind up saying things you don't even know what you've said, because it's the Spirit saying it, not you. And that's what God wants to do in our life. He has given us something, folks, that the world is in dire need of. Everything they're grabbing at, they're grabbing at all these straws, and that any lifestyle can continue to exist, that I can live this way, and God's going to, I can still have Jesus. That's not what the Bible tells us. Y'all with me? So the ones of us that God has really done something in, and some of these people may be your own family, your children, your nieces, your nephews, and they need some hope. And if God's people will just begin to share, because here's what he says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. See, it's not about you and me. It's about Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. And then there's that song that says there's something about that name. Jesus. Master. Savior. Jesus. There's just something about that name. And when we don't know what we should say, if we just begin to say Jesus, when we don't know what to pray, we just say Jesus. Man, he shows up. Amen? He shows up. And I love what he says there in 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 5. It says his goal was there, that all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. And when truth enters our heart, this is what happens. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. See, it's not about me. It's not about you. It says, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. Everybody say new creation. That is a reference to time. The more we walk with him, the more we commune with him, the more we have to call on him, the more we learn to trust in him, man, he begins to do just more and more and bless in our lives. And I'm telling you, you get to wanting to share it with somebody, it's got to spill over. I want to share it with somebody. It says in verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So what culture is trying to paint you a picture of is you can live any kind of lifestyle you want to live and Jesus is there with you. Those are lies according to Scripture. And those of us that have received the promises of Jesus need to begin to share the truth, because culture says, oh, you Christians, you got to be quiet. But Jesus says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And we need to begin to share the promises of God so people can be delivered, set free from the bondage that's trying to take this nation down the tubes. This nation was founded on the principles of God, and the church needs to be to return to the principles of God. We got churches embracing new things. Not that old things pass away. No, we think we can prescribe anything. And Jesus will just, I'm going to tell you this, Jesus can deliver a person with addiction to drugs. He's a deliverer. Person that's addicted to alcohol, he's a deliverer. A person that's wrapped up in sexual immorality, he can deliver. Hello. He can deliver the homosexual lifestyle. He is the deliverer. He can deliver a person that is confused about their identity. And you can't know who you are until you know whose you are. And if the church don't begin to share this prescribed message of hope, the world's going to continue to go the way it's going. And that's why the title of this series is When the Church Becomes the Church. Because what we look at in our culture today, the church ain't walking in the fullness of the gospel. The church ain't walking in the power and the authority that was given to Jesus. And Jesus ain't changed. That's what I love about Malachi 3:6. Said, I am the Lord and I do not change. He ain't changing. He ain't changing to fit our lifestyle. We don't get to tell him, oh, you saved me, but this comes with me. We don't get to bring our baggage to him and say, I'm hanging on to this. He delivers you from the baggage. And if the church don't begin to show deliverance in our own lives, how can we tell a person that's so upside down in life that there's deliverance for them? There is no hope. But this is what he goes on to say. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that is, God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Four times he mentions in this passage, it's scripture, reconciliation. The Greek word for reconciliation is katalasso. And if I'm saying that right, I'm not a Greek scholar. Katalasso. And that means an exchange, or like exchanging money. When me and Laurie, we go over to Myanmar, we take American currency, but when you get over there, you have to go exchange your American money for their money. And when you go do this exchange, you don't, you get their money, not yours. And this, that's literally what the word reconciliation means. It means an exchange. And what happens in our life, and when, what God does is reconcile the world to himself through Christ Jesus, there's an exchange. If old things pass away, all things become new. I've made an exchange. I've put off the old man, and I'm walking in the new man because I don't want to be my own anymore. I tried doing it my way. I failed in everything that was my way, and now I want to do God's way, and I'm not going back to who I used to be. I'm going to be who God wants me to be by the power and authority that's given to him in heaven and in earth. Come on. Give him a hand clap of praise in this place. So we have to make an exchange. The world is asleep at the wheel. The church is asleep at the wheel to think that we can do this without an exchange. We are ministers of this incredible exchange. That's what God's telling us. That's why he said, go. Go, I'm commissioning you. I'm empowering you. I'm putting a fire in your bones. I'm giving you something that the world can't give, and the world can't take it away. I'm putting something inside of you that comes from my throne room, and it's called anointing. It's called new life, because Jesus is alive, and he wants to live inside of you. Come on. And as we receive this and we walk in his authority and in his power from the exchange that we're making, we've taken our old sinful nature and we've exchanged it for his righteous ways. Not my ways anymore, but your ways, Lord. Your will be done. Not my will, but your will. You remember that when Jesus was in the garden praying that let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, I don't want this. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to go to the cross. Jesus had a will. And he had to struggle with wills. And he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And then the scripture goes on and reads this way. And Paul wrote in Philippians that he became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. What's he saying there? He died two deaths. I got to learn to die to myself. I got to make the exchange that I don't want my ways no more. I don't want to. The fear of God is having a wholesome dread of displeasing him. That's the definition of the fear of God. Not being scared of him because he's going to get me for every move I make that is wrong. If you believe that, you don't believe John 3:17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. So the exchange gives me a word of reconciliation. That you don't have to live upside down. You don't have to be addicted to drugs. You don't have to be addicted to pornography. You don't have to have all of these vices in your life. In fact, if you're a Christian and you have vices like that in your life, how do you have a ministry of reconciliation? That's what's wrong with the church. That's what's wrong with the church. I'm going to say it again. I don't think you're hearing me. That's what's wrong with the church. We still got the vices and think we can have the deliverance too. They don't work. They contradict each other. We're ministers of this incredible exchange, exchanging the sinful ways of our lives for his righteous ways to be holy. Because the scripture says in Peter, be holy, for I am holy. None of us are holy. The exchange of the old nature and the old man and putting on Jesus, we put him on. We literally take him, the Bible says, and we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make no provision for our old ways anymore. Them old ways are gone. I remember when I got saved, my buddies was going, oh, don't worry about Frankie. He's going through a spell. He'll be back. It took 3 years that them boys that was saying that stuff and mocking, make fun of you, that now that some of them are knocking on my door and telling me how upside down their life is standing on my steps. And I'm like, come on in here. I'm going to share something with you and share Jesus. Guys, people don't need the church telling them how wrong they are. They already know it. Hello? But when the church begins to walk in the promise and in the power and in the authority of God, it ain't this authority that's an iron fist ruling over you. It's the authority of deliverance is for you. It's the promise of knowing if I speak deliverance to you and you believe in that deliverance and his name is Jesus, and if you'll trust the deliverer, if you'll call on the deliverer, if you'll live for the deliverer, if you'll exchange your old ways for his ways, you'll begin to see the power of a resurrected Jesus in your life. Well, he's given us this ministry of reconciliation. He's given us this ministry of hope and of deliverance and of power and of newness. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new, because I'm trusting in the one that gave his life for me. Hallelujah. Well, y'all bear with me. We may arrive at 600 miles, but I'm buying the gas. Y'all just hang on. It's not a hard thing for me to share hope with somebody, but it is hard when we look at somebody and we go to putting them down for the way they live. They don't need that. They already know they're there. Hello? They already know they're there. That's why people outside the church look at the church and go, I ain't going over there, because if they gonna make it, I can live right just like I'm living and I can go to heaven too. How many of you ever heard that? That's why the church has got to wake up. It's not about you. Jesus never came to make it about you. He came that, and John said, I must decrease so he can increase. It's not that people see more of you. Oh, look how good he's doing. No. No, what they should be saying is, look how blessed he is, because something's happened to that old boy. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And when we exchange the old for the new and put on Jesus, That makes us holy if we continue in him. All I need is Jesus. Luke 9, 1 and 2. The scripture says this, and then he called to the 12. Everybody remember the number 12. Then he called to the 12 disciples together and gave them power. Listen to what he gave them. So this ain't something that's, he's not letting you have. It's for you. The power of God is for you, not against you. The power of God is to be in you, not to destroy you. But he says this, and he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons. I'm sick of Satan having his way over our children. I'm sick of it. I am sick of it. I am sick of it. We need to tell the devil go to hell and stop going with him. It is time for the church to take a bold stand, because the 12 received authority, and he gave them authority over demons to cure diseases, and he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We need to be preaching the kingdom of God. We need to be preaching hope to be people. We need to be giving people some hope today, because they're living in a hopeless world. If you turn on the news, there's no hope in the news. There's none. If this don't happen in the election, if that don't happen in the election, we're doomed. This nation may be doomed. But let me tell you what the Bible says. He will never see the righteous forsaken. Now, I may have to go through some stuff because a nation chose to rebel against God. I may have to go through some stuff in that because I live in this nation. But when I leave this earth, when I check out and I'm gone, I'm going to heaven. Because I know who I have believed in and whom I trust. And what I've committed to him against that day, I'm going to keep on trusting in Jesus. Verse 2 says he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now I want you to flip over here to Luke 10, just a couple of pages. Luke 10, 1 and 2. And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others. How many was in the first group? And 70 others, that's 82. Boy, I'm glad somebody's giving me the answer. How many gathered in the upper room? In the upper room, 120. And when 120 went in, one came out. We're going to be getting there. One came out. I'm telling you what God's wanting to do at Living for the Brand. 300 walk in, one walks out. Come on. When the church becomes the church, we'll begin to walk in that kind of authority. Come on, Lord. Manifest yourself in your awesome ways. Look here, I'm going to read it. I'm going to try to get... And these things the Lord appointed set... These things the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. There's a world dying right around us. 15 years ago, as a Christian, 20 years ago as a Christian, it started shocking me that kids my age, young people my age, I wasn't a kid 20 years ago, but I was close. It started shocking me that people like me, my age, had never had a Bible in America. Started shocking me. Today, ask kids, how many of you even know what a Bible is? It'll blow you out of the water. And then I have to bring this question really close to home. How many of you pick up this Bible and read it? How many pick it up and read it? I don't want you to raise your hand. It's okay. But I'm challenging your heart because you'll never know the gospel. You'll never know the hope. You'll never know the deliverance that God is wanting to speak through you to somebody that's suffering and hurting. You'll never know that hope until you open the book of hope. Everywhere from Matthew to Revelation, there's hope. There's new, and his name's Jesus. And he sent 70s, he called 12, and he sent them, and he gave them power, and he gave them authority. He called 70 others, and he gave them power, and he gave them authority. And God is calling 300 more in Athens, Texas, and he's calling the evangelical church in this nation to rise up in the authority and in the power of God and become who I've called you to be. Become who I've called you to be. Matthew 28. We're going to go back there. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Before you can teach, you must first be taught. And the only way you can be taught is by the time you spend with Jesus. Go make disciples. In his authority, he commanded his disciples to make disciples. And this is a command. It's not an option. A disciple is a learner who seeks to become like the one he follows. That's what a disciple is. Who you following? And what's wrong with the church is the church follows more the ways of the world today than they follow Jesus. Are y'all okay? Come on. A disciple is a learner that seeks to become like the one he follows. And if we never pick up this word and we never spend time with Jesus, we'll never be able to become like him. We'll never understand who he is. The goal of a disciple is to help those around you become progressively like Jesus in their character. You hear me? In their character, in their conduct, in their attitude, in their actions, in their ways, in their deliverance, that they've been delivered from all kind of things. God is wanting to, you may be delivered from things I ain't been delivered from, but man, we can get together and share the delivering power of God. And I'm telling you, there's a fire starts when you begin to share the promises of God that's been delivered to your life. There's a fire that starts. Jesus will only share his authority with true followers. The authority ain't given just to the brand that's stamped over your door. It ain't given just to the Baptist. It ain't given to the this, to the that. It's given to followers of Jesus. Jesus will only share his authority with true followers so others can see the rule of God in and through their lives. Discipleship is the key element of God's kingdom agenda. This can't be taught in a class. Well, we need to have more discipleship classes. We need some discipleship classes. Let me tell you about discipleship. Discipleship is you spending time with people that need some hope. You having the hope inside of you and being intentional about spending time with people that need hope. We can have a class, we can teach knowledge, we can give Bible knowledge, but until I can speak into your life and then you grasp that he loves you and he gave himself for you and that you decide that I'm going to make that exchange today. The currency I have ain't getting me nowhere. Are you picking up what I'm laying down? You bring Myanmar money back to America and hand that to a merchant and they go, "What is that?" You get a neighbor in like Mexico or money like that, they know what that is. They don't want it either. God ain't wanting your used to life. God's wanting to produce in you new life. God is wanting to produce in you new life. And when we begin to share the hope to people, that's when God begins to do things. Discipleship is the key element of God's kingdom agenda. And it can't be taught in a class. It takes true followers of Jesus directed by the Holy Spirit impacting others in everyday life. This is what began to happen in the New Testament church. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but you're going to hear it again one of these weeks, that there was 3,000 and 5,000 added to the church daily as he saw fit. He saw fit. This is what Jesus did all through the four Gospels. He was intentional. He went to their towns. The people would flock around him because he was that intentional. He cleansed the leper. He didn't teach it in a class. He did because he had authority and he had power. And you know what the church has today? If we'll learn to surrender to him, we have authority and power that people in our own family can be delivered and be set free from the bondages of this life and sexual immorality and confusion about who I am, if I'm a boy or a girl. These things are bondage and they're God don't want them in his kingdom. He wants his kingdom to be set free. Teach them what I've commanded you. Teaching is not just sharing knowledge. It's help people apply knowledge and taking notes, memorizing verses is good, but until the learner obeys God's word, teaching will not produce disciples. And I'm not against us getting together and having Bible studies. That's not what I'm saying at all. But if we just teach it and teach it and teach it and teach it and walk out and we continue in that wayward life that we've been going down for years and years and years and you keep on doing the same old thing and expect a different result, that's the definition of insanity, right? But he says, teach them what I've commanded you. This is This is it. We are to live our lives as disciples, equipping others to do the same. Keeping in mind, Jesus don't have the same level of commitment to believers that refuse his discipleship. I'm going to ask you to come on, Wayne. If you want something from God and you ain't willing to give up your ways, and you're wanting Jesus to bless and use you, and I want to do this, and I want to do that, and I, there is no I in J-E-S-U-S. I'm living my life for Jesus. John 2, 23. Jesus said, most surely I say unto you, unless one is... Nope, that's not it. John 2, 23. Here we go. And when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and had no need of that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. Our testimony ain't about us. It ain't about looky what I done. Just look what God's done in my life, man. You want some hope today? Look at an old boy right here. When he was 27 years old, he couldn't read. And this year, I got to tell y'all, I'm so excited, I've done read 3 books. Huh? Come on. In addition to my Bible reading, I've done read 3 books this year. And I'm like, man, I'm on a roll. If my school teachers know that, holy smoke. Had a school teacher tell me, she said, Frankie Smith, you are going to fail this class if I don't get a book report from you. I had no comprehension. I couldn't comprehend. I read something, and then you ask me what I just read. I don't know. Well, you read it. I didn't get nothing out of it. My school teacher said, Miss Newton, she said, if you don't give me a book report, you're going to fail this class. So I went to the library. I checked me. I had a very creative mind. That's what happens with dyslexic people. They got a really creative mind. So I went and got me a book, and I checked it out, and I put me some notebook paper in a 3-ring binder, and I drawed the front of the cover the way I wanted to do as a Western book. It's a cowboy book, so I kind of drawed the way I'd want the front of the cover to look if it's my book, and I put 78 pages in that thing, or however many it was, and they were all blank. And at the end of it, I wrote the end in a Western font by Frankie Smith. And I turned that in to Miss Newton, and Miss Newton says, "What is this?" I said, "That's that book report you wanted." I said, because if I read that book that I checked out in the library, that's exactly what I'd get out of it. Nothing. She touched my hand, touched my head. She said, there's something going on between here and here, and I wish I knew what it was so I could help you. Well, Miss Newton is 88 years old, and she's heard my story because I called and told her. And I sent her my book that God led me to write. And I would not be this man had it not been for the delivering power of Jesus. I don't know where you are today, but I want you to know this about your Savior. He didn't come to condemn you. He's come to build a fire in you, a consuming fire that your friends that you know that are so upside down and you wish that you don't even want to hang out with them friends because, man, it's tearing you down. But the authority God is wanting to put in your life is an authority that will destroy the destroyer that's after the young people in our nation today. Amen? Guys, God is wanting to do great things in his church, and the church has got to become the church. And this is what he said right here in verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Verse 25, and said, he had no need that anyone should testify of man, little m, for he, capital H-E, knew what was in a man. God ain't come to make you better. If you ain't committed to Him today, and you ain't never made a commitment, He ain't committed to you. And I'm going to ask you right now, make your uncommitted exchange today an exchange where you are, and take the new currency of who He wants you to be, because the currency He's putting in you is life. Everlasting life. Y'all stand with me. Lord, today I pray Your strength in this house. And I pray for them that says they're saved. And preacher, You're challenging me about my salvation. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am challenging you, because it matters that I challenge you, that you live surrendered to Jesus, and watch what starts happening in your life. God, I pray today that You strengthen every person in this room for Your kingdom's sake. God, we need some hope. We need authority. We need power in this world. We need Your power. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit walking before us, leading us, guiding us to take the steps we make to go tear down the walls that the enemy's built around our friends and our family, oh God. We need to tear them walls down and take back what the enemy has stole from us. In Jesus' name. Build this authority in your believers today. If you need that hope in your life, I'm going to ask you to come this way. Come on.